This is
Tears of Scrutiny. Hi there, welcome back to Tears of Scrutiny. My name is Eva Even.
And I'm Bari Sedana.
And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about an upcoming case called Linky v. Freed. So James Freed is the city manager of Port Huron, Michigan.
Yep, a pretty small town.
Mm-hmm. So he created a private Facebook profile that was originally intended for friends and family, but he exceeded the friend limit. So he, which is like
5,000.
That's a really nice problem to have. I don't have that problem. But so he converted to a public.
Do you have a Facebook?
No. Wow. Does Instagram have those?
No, I don't think Instagram.
So he had to convert to a public page where he had unlimited followers and not like friends, like Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And the page category was public figure.
Yep.
So I think, did all this happen before he was appointed city manager?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So then he was appointed city manager and he updated the page, reflected this new title, used the page for both personal and professional end means. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like a lot of the professional stuff that he would do on there is would be any policy updates, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Also, for those of y'all who don't know, because this is also something that I had to look up, but a city manager is someone who is hired, not elected, and they're hired to carry out many of the things that need to be done operations-wise for the city, if that makes sense. But they are hired by the city council, and they do work, you know, for the city government.
Yeah, so they're, government employees.
Yeah.
So Lynn Key, who is just, I think, a citizen, but he came across Freed's public Facebook page, didn't approve of how he was handling the pandemic, basically had policy disagreements, and criticized Freed on his Facebook page by commenting. I think Freed just ended up deleting the comments and ultimately blocked Linky.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because from my research of Linky, this is not the first of a time like this. I think after this case goes up to the court, he was waiting for a writ of cert to be approved, but now he's planning on suing because he was also taken out of a city council meeting by police officers for voicing his thoughts in 2021. Yeah.
Interesting.
So he was escorted out. That's what I heard him say on a interview, and he was talking about how he's going to sue for a violation of his First Amendment rights for that as well. So definitely
a vocal person.
Yeah. And apparently he's like quite famous within the community, infamous within the community for his political work and I guess activist.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that. But yeah, so he sued Freed for violating his First Amendment rights by deleting his comments and blocking him in basically what constitutes a public forum. And the district court granted summary judgment to Freed, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for this with the Sixth Circuit confirmed. Yeah, and then I think the Supreme Court granted writ of cert, which is essentially like petition for judicial review. They'll look at the case, and we're waiting on that. But there is some interesting case law behind
that
this.
That we wanted to go over before we kind of talk about the questions. We're combining this case, Linky v. Freed, with another one, O'Connor Radcliffe v. Garnier. Garnier. So that's kind of... this is a dual episode, so you guys get to hear about two cases with similar issues in one. But the first case that we wanted to bring up is from 1988, and this is West v. Atkins, in which the court determined when an employee of the state is acting under, quote, color of state law, end quote, the equivalent to acting in the role of a government official. In the words of Justice Harry Blackmun, a public employee acts under color of state law while acting in his official capacity or while exercising his responsibilities pursuant to state law. I mean, I feel like that's pretty
reasonable.
Yeah. I feel like that makes sense. I feel like that's, but also we've seen with cases recently, what comes to mind to me after hearing about this case is Kennedy, because I feel like the question with this case is similar in that, was he a public official in the first place? When, you know, blocking part of, I think part of the issue is, was he a public official when blocking those people?
100%.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's not even just in a, from a social media standpoint. Like, we have this designation where we say, if government employees and public employees are acting in their capacity, they don't speak for themselves as private citizens. They speak for the government of the United States.
Yeah.
And their speech is not protected anymore. So it is, there are loopholes and there are all these things, but like we do have that designation that that people fall into when they work for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was also a 2006 precedent that affirmed this, which I think Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's no longer on the court, who is retired, wrote the majority opinion for Garcetti v. Sevelos. And he said, when public employees make statements pursuant to their official duties, the employees are not speaking as citizens for First Amendment purposes, and the Constitution does not insulate their communications from employer discipline, end quote. So the crucial language here is pursuant to official duties. So if you are acting in your capacity and role as a government official, your speech, again, as I said, is not protected.
Yeah. And I'm sure some of y'all have heard about the 2021 mm-hmm. case that was regarding former President Trump, and it was a First Amendment case that's mm-hmm. very similar to Linke. The question posed to the court was whether it was a First Amendment violation when then President Trump, a public official, blocked users from responding to his Twitter threads. But by the time the question reached the court, Trump was no longer president.
Mm-hmm.
So the justices sent the case back to the Court of Appeals for dismissal.
So this is really interesting. I think, so Justice Clarence Thomas, who is on the court now, he, in his concurring opinion, said, quote, "It seems rather odd to say that something is a government forum when a private company has unrestricted authority to do away with it," end quote, which I think is a very interesting argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the modern world, like in today's world, I would argue that social media constitutes that public square where, you know, like that is how you get the word out. That is how we disseminate information. And it's interesting to like the point he brings up, I think, has some merit because they are private companies. But at the same time, when these forums have this kind of reach to, you know, millions of people and that kind of an audience, does that mean that we don't apply First Amendment protections or, mm-hmm. you know?
I mean, yeah, because I think also, like, to that extent, I feel like a lot of people can argue that their First Amendment rights are restricted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, when Donald Trump was removed from the – and I don't – this is a completely separate issue, but I mean in the sense of these private companies have the ability to restrict our rights themselves.
100%.
So what's to say a user of that platform
shouldn't be able to
do the same? You know, does that make sense?
We're seeing a revolution of that as well with like Twitter and X ever since Elon Musk purchased the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing like, you know, all sorts of things happen there. But I mean, I see your point. I don't know.
Yeah, like I don't know.
These are private companies.
Yeah. So like I think Justice Thomas does bring up like a very valid argument in saying that. Like,
yeah, but it's also I think nuanced, just in the sense that like when you examine the kind of reach these companies and platforms have,
mm-hmm.
and like the way that public officials will disseminate policy standpoints and information on these things, like, you know, when a president or when any sort of elected official blocks a citizen on one of these things, that means that that person can no longer view that information,
mm-hmm.
right? So does that mean that they can't access, you know, public information anymore? Like, you know, I just think it gets really dicey, but
I think especially like with Linke's case, he was doing both updates about his personal life and his public. He's kind of giving influencer to me, you know what I mean? Like, doing some brand deals here and there, and also like, but I think that is the issue is when does he, I mean, if it's on a post about his public stuff, wouldn't it, or about his stuff related to his position, wouldn't that be, you know,
constitute the capacity of public official? Again, like going back to that precedent, like, are you acting in your capacity as a government employee or are you acting in your capacity as a citizen? And mm-hmm. With Freed, I think we can, you know, certainly say that he was acting in his capacity as a government employee.
Mm-hmm.
So for our next case, I think, it's called O'Connor Ratcliffe v. Garnier. Basically, the story is we have two parents, Christopher and Kimberly Garnier, or Garnier, I'm not sure, but they're parents of children in the... They're two parents who are parents of children in the Poway Unified School District in the city of Poway, California, which is just north of San Diego, if I'm not mistaken. But basically, they are on social media and they're commenting criticism on the District Board of Trustees. social media pages, including Michelle O'Connor Ratcliffe and TJ Zane. And basically for the school board elections, these two, I think, officials or wannabe officials created personal Facebook and Twitter pages with where they updated with their official titles once they were selected and continued to use to post about school district business and news. And then eventually, as these parents, the Garniers, began to like post more and more critical, repetitive comments on these trustees' social media pages, the trustees began to hide or delete those comments, and eventually, I think in October of 2017, blocked the couple from their social media pages. The Garniers then sued and said, hey, these social media pages are a public forum, and by blocking us, you're violating our First Amendment rights. And the district court granted declaratory, and injunctive relief to the Guardians, but found that the trustees had qualified immunity from the damage claims. Why is that? The U.S. Court of Appeals also affirmed that. But
yeah, so I think what they were saying is that it shouldn't be something like a civil payout,
Yeah. But I wonder why. That's interesting. So a very similar case goes hand in hand with Lynn Key.
Yeah, very similar question also about whether or not a public official engages in state action subject to the First Amendment by blocking an individual from the official's personal social media account, which the official uses to communicate about job-related matters with the public. You know, it seems to me maybe you should make a Finsta. Maybe these officials should make a Finsta and keep their public Instagram separate and private. Or their Finsta private.
Finsta private. Yeah, just
their other one separate.
Yeah, separate the two, man. Like, I don't know what you're doing. But, like, I have an opinion about this. I feel like, to me, you shouldn't be able to block somebody if you're on a public page and it's like you're acting in your capacity as a public official, reaching out with information about your policy standpoints and news and things. I don't think you should be able to do that.
No, I definitely agree. I think especially with these cases, it's like direct criticism about things that you are doing. And, you know, by being a public official, I think you open yourself up to the criticism of your constituency, whether elected or not, especially in Linky's cases.
And it really does just come with the job and, like, that limelight and the magnifying glass. You have to take it, you know, as it comes. I don't think there's an out to that at all. So I agree with you.
But I wonder what the court will decide, especially because, like, not to be that person, but, like, I wonder in terms of the justice's own experience on social media, right? Like, I wonder, you know, they're, of course, kept away from
the public eye as much as possible.
Yeah.
Or at least
the opinion and the passions of the public.
But, yes.
You know, I think that's still, I wonder in terms of, you know, I think social media is, of course, very new. And I think we're seeing this in all facets of our government, especially our all facets of our federal government, whether it be with the TikTok trial and hearing, hearing, not trial, that they had with the CEO of TikTok. And just like, I feel like there's a general lack of understanding potentially
within our elected officials and
about social media. 100%.
Did you see that? I forget who it was, but with the TikTok hearing, it was somebody said the word Finsta, and it was just very, very evident. They had no idea what it was.
Really?
Just really funny.
I just wonder, you know, I mean, of course, the justices will consult experts. But it's just interesting to see how they will rule in a case when social media, I don't think, was really necessarily outlined or imagined when the
Constitution
was written. And I don't know if, you know, the founders were really thinking about a public figure's Instagram, but it, of course, falls within that First Amendment, you know.
Yeah, again, it goes to show how much our Constitution can be interpreted and molded with the changing times. And it's also really interesting to see how, you know, what the judiciary is dealing with has, you know, changed to in this time.
Yeah.
We're looking at outreach when it comes to Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and what that entails for public officials and constituents. So,
like, I know, I think that, like, having following like my representatives on social media is really helpful in terms of knowing what they're actually working on.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, are they really able to do much? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Are they really doing much? Who knows? But at least I can see what they are trying
or
to do.
Or at least
what they want to do.
What they want you to know.
And so many of them post like...
regularly.
Yeah. And so many of them post like opportunities. Like I know Deborah Ross, who's my representative of the House of Representatives. She's posting a lot about coffee chats that she has with constituents when she's in town and not in DC. So like those things I think are really important to have as a constituent. At the same time, you know, she does have some more like, I guess, personal posts. Maybe it's a family member's birthday or something like that, you know. Or a husband's birthday, like things like that, that I'm like, should that be on a separate account? But also,
but should we mandate that? Like, that is one other thing.
Yeah, and also, I feel like personal lives have become such a part of like
a campaigning. 100%.
So I don't know necessarily how realistic it is to separate the two.
Yeah, but I don't think you can get elected if you run purely on policy in this country. So it's interesting, but we hope that you learned something from this, and we will see how this irons out in the future. We don't have a date yet, I think, for the argument or opinion or vote or anything.
But definitely look out for the dates on both of those cases.
Sounds good. See you guys in 2 weeks.